Our business commentator today is Rebecca Stevenson, who is Stuff's national business editor. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi, Catherine. Sounds like you've got a busy afternoon.
It has. I was just thinking that's a rather awkward segue for you when I mention what we're discussing in media later with Andrew. My apologies for that.
No worries. Of course, it is a big story at the moment.
It is, and it is what it is as well at the moment for many media companies. You have been looking around at the rising flow of liquidations and job losses about the place. And what have you noticed happening over that period of lockdown in particular?
Yeah, we did a bit of analysis looking at all the companies that have been liquidated in the last 6 weeks. The 6 weeks post the lockdown. And we have started to see some of those effects of the lockdown coming through in those liquidations. There was about 100 that have been into liquidation. And we estimate, I think there was about a dozen of those that had gone bust directly as a result of COVID. You know, and there's a real range of businesses in there. There's a fit out company. There was a construction company in Auckland, concrete mix company, a whole bunch of smaller businesses that have just, you know, had this dramatic impact with COVID. With these ones, I think some of them were already weakened and were teetering, but I think things are going to pick up really for us now because we've just, you know, had no business going for so long.
What are the patterns that you are seeing from what you've assessed, from what you've observed?
One of the good things that we're kind of seeing, you know, with the example of the construction company I talked about, Tempo Construction, you know, that owner, Barry Byrne, he decided to liquidate his business because he didn't want to keep trying to trade and then take other businesses down with him. So we're seeing a lot of that, you know. Some business owners are being really realistic here. Am I going to be able to hang it through? Should I keep taking the wage subsidy and try and ride this out? Or is it actually better for me and for the wider economy to close my business now and then not have outstanding bills and things like that further down the line?
Because that is a big issue, isn't it? For a start,
you
are not to trade while insolvent. And so there is actually a legal obligation to assess the feasibility, the viability of your business.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, you know, with not having money coming in, cash flow is a huge issue. If you cannot pay your bills, you're in big trouble. And while some places are going to give you relief, you know, landlords have been giving some of their customers rent relief and things like that. But there's a lot of bills that you just cannot get out of. And if you don't have the money coming in, you know, you're going to hit that wall. And you have to do the responsible thing, I think, and try and work out whether or not you can go forward. And it's kind of heartening in some ways that you've seen these guys recognize that early. But it's an incredibly difficult decision. I mean, a lot of these businesses, these are not sort of terrible businesses. A lot of the businesses that have gone bust in the last couple of weeks have been around for 10, 20 years and traded, you know, fine across that time.
It is hard to engage the head over the heart at these times, but many businesses that would never have foreseen themselves in this situation are having to do so. Just on that question of insolvency, and even a step before that, weighing up your viability, what is it that you're doing to test that? Is it just cash flow? Is it a mix of cash flow and your balance sheet strength?
Yeah, so there's the two main measures that accountants and businesses look at when they're looking at their things. Obviously, we've already talked about cash flow. You know, so insolvency can be established by a cash flow test. Cash flow test is whether you can pay your debts when they fall due. And the balance sheet test is whether or not your assets are exceeded by your liabilities. So that's the things you owe, effectively being outweighed by anything that you own.
You mentioned that wage subsidy, which has bought time at least, but some at the decision point right now, yes, because if they are going to have to let staff go, they are going to face redundancy costs. And so many might look at that last month of the wage subsidy as, you know, now I've got to decide because that's all I've got left, yes?
Yeah, that's right. And you saw, I don't know if you saw today, but you've got the aviation and tourism industry broadcasting a very loud message to the government today at the Epidemic Select Committee response. They're saying the wage subsidy was great. They're very grateful that they got that, but they're increasingly feeling nervous as that's about to end on June 30. And a lot of those businesses are saying they need something from the budget on Thursday. Otherwise, they're going to close.
The problem also, if trading does continue, and the problem regardless in some industries, is that there's a knock-on effect. As one falls, you mentioned creditors, one falls, its creditors are standing there going, well, where am I in the queue? And that can put pressure on the next set of businesses.
Yeah, that's the really worrying thing about what we're seeing washing out now, is it will have a knock-on effect. You know, I think the classic example is a lot of those hospo businesses that are going bust. A lot of them owe a lot of money to a lot of small businesses in their communities. And so that's going to be really difficult. You know, there's going to be certain sectors that are very exposed to some businesses. And when you see, you know, like a big hospo group or someone like that go bust, I mean, that pain for their suppliers, contractors, etc., is going to be really difficult. Some of them will be able to write it out, but some won't. And then they're in the situation of making that call about their business for the same reasons. You know, do they keep trading? Do they keep going? Who are they going to take down with them?
What is your take on this lack of take up or the lack of banks playing ball with the government's guarantee scheme, business loan scheme? This was for slightly larger businesses, $250,000 turnover, I think, through to $80 million turnover, and it's in double figures, the number of loans that have been lent under it. Has that been a missed opportunity, and what's gone wrong?
Yeah, I think, well, it's the small businesses that we're hearing a lot that feel they've been missed out with the sort of initiatives that have been announced already. Perhaps it could have been targeted better at smaller businesses. I guess one of the great advantages for a bigger business is you do have a bigger balance sheet. You have other options. You know, you don't necessarily need to access this fund. You know, we have seen some listed companies, for example, have gone back to their investors and raised money in that traditional way. Perhaps people just don't want to engage with the government scheme as well. We know that businesses are also getting loans directly from their banks. And there's been a bit of grizzling about that too. So it's just a really interesting one. It appears that for a lot of businesses, a loan isn't what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they want money.
Yeah.
They want cash. They want to keep their staff. So, you know, it's like the government talking about delaying tourism concessions and payments and things like that. That's not what they want. You know, they don't want to, you know, pay their bills over longer time. They need cash now.
You made a really important point that goes again to the decision whether to stay trading or to stop. It's one thing to take on a loan. It is just that, a loan. You have got to pay it back. And for a lot of business people, I think the question is, I've built up a certain amount of asset here. Am I just going to whittle it all and run it all down and then face a loan stretching out for years? Or am I better now to make the call and walk away with what I've got? And again, it's heart versus head stuff.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And I feel terribly for a lot of business owners out there. You know, I'm having tons of emails and phone calls coming through. And, you know, we hear what they're saying. It's incredibly painful. And one of the things I've kind of observed is, you know, we can care about multiple things at once in this scenario, this crazy scenario that we're in at the moment. We can be worried about people's health, but also we can be worried about people's livelihoods and jobs. And this pressure and pain is going to be stressful and difficult on people's mental health as well. So I think we need to keep that in sight too, that this is real pain also.
I think the other challenging time that is coming, Rebecca, is that now that we come into level two and we start to have some opening up, the reality that this will be for many businesses still constrained income and elevated costs will cause a further reassessment. You're not going to go back to your normal cash flow in some instances, and your costs may have risen. So there's going to be a fresh set of eyes put across things with the information they get about their custom and their cash flow over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think for a lot of them, they're waiting to see what's going to unfold. You know, some have done some brilliant stuff and pivoted straight away, you know, with those level changes. Others have decided to wait and see and see if they can get started going now. One of the things that I think is a really relevant point that economist Tony Alexander made, which is that you've got to be careful not to get too pessimistic and too sucked down into these, especially if you are a small business owner or employer, because then you can get inert and you not able to act and do things to keep moving your business forward in any way. So you do need to watch out for that as well, I think.
Well, let's look for some of the inspiration on that side of the coin, which is businesses who have been able to take the deep breath and then work out how they can operate differently in a radically changed environment. What are some of the examples you've come across?
Oh, there's been some brilliant ones. I mean, one of the ones that was actually a personal observation for me was I used to use a business called Village Kitchen a few years ago that did ready-to-eat meals that you would just heat. And that's a little Auckland-based company. I think they only have a couple of staff. And so they pivoted to frozen meals basically in 24 hours, I think. It was going back and forth around what are the health and safety things they need to do. How are they going to package their food now? They had to get, a different machine, you know, and some other things like that. But within basically a weekend, the small business Village Kitchen in Auckland managed to go from ready-to-eat meals to frozen. And she's actually expanded her business now. She was sort of just Auckland and is now able to distribute those nationwide because they are frozen. So I think it's a great example of really trying to hustle and keep your business going. But actually, she found a real opportunity there with everyone being stuck at home.
The others we've seen were the whiskey distillers who started pumping out, literally, hand sanitizer.
Yep, we've seen a lot of that good stuff as well. And the same as there's been a ton of clothing manufacturers and things who have started making PPE gear and things like that. It's great to see that there's that innovation out there.
I've seen some budget rental vans being used with a courier post sign attached. They've obviously needed to elevate their delivery core, and that has brought a little bit of relief anyway for one rental company.
But yeah, another great one was Snap Delivery did a similar deal with Faro. So now they were doing car rentals before, and now they're just doing delivery for the Faro supermarket instead and using their cars. So, I mean, it's great. People are definitely deploying resources in other ways.
Just finally, budget. We've talked about it at length in the run-up. What's your thinking about what its scope is going to be, I guess? How much is going to be numbers? Obviously, we're looking at the horrible debt numbers, but how much is going to be the government announcing firm spending, and how much of it might actually be directional shifts or indications thereof?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and one that I think has been debated quite a bit. My view is that I don't think we'll see new things, like a new ministry or new things like that. My vision would be that they would sort of use some of the tools that they've already got to redistribute some wealth, for example, you know, to help low-income people. There's been a lot of chat around that they should maybe target couples who are on benefits and get rid of that requirement that they are sort of measured together as a household. Tinkering for working for families is a possibility. There's a lot of things that they can do around that. I think tourism is screaming for some support. So I think there'll be some industry-targeted support, potentially something for SMEs, and I think a national retraining scheme or some sort of program, looking forward for these unemployed people we're going to have is probably on the agenda as well.
Rebecca, thank you very much. Rebecca Stevenson is Stuff's National Business Editor.